2 weeks ago, Sunday the 12th of June, an event was happening in New York. The Tonys. Now, I don't normally pay much attention to these kind of events going on, but this year I did, because one particular musical had 16 nominations in 13 categories and actually won 11 awards. Now, that musical was something called Hamilton. Anybody heard about Hamilton? Oh, well, you've not spent time with Imogen. Imogen has been in absolutely besotted with this musical. Hamilton, it's about Alexander Hamilton, who's one of the founding fathers of America. And it's about his life and the revolution in America. And it's written by a gentleman called Lin-Manuel Miranda, and it's written in a sort of a rap hip-hop style, so not quite the sort of music I've usually listened to. But having gone down to Falmouth and back a couple of times, a four-hour journey, you know, each way, I know a lot of the music, and I'm beginning to get the words. I don't know as many of the words as Imogen, because being rap, you know, my brain's getting a little bit less flexible, so I'm not able to learn the words quite as well, but I do know the music. But I know the words well enough to recognise when Imogen came home from the community centre on Thursday. We came here together to put our ex in the spot. I recognised her Facebook update. Not throwing away my vote. And I said to her, yeah, I'm not going to throw away my vote. I'm just like my country. I'm young, strappy, and hungry. I'm not going to throw my vote. And she goes, nah, mum. You're just like your country. You're old, scraggy, and angry. And maybe that's what we woke up to, feeling like on Friday morning. Things changing. Whatever way you voted, whatever you think, things are changing. Political change, locally, nationally, internationally. America's going to vote for a new president later on this year. And it's going to be different. Doesn't matter who it is, it's going to be different. It's going to affect international relationships. It's going to affect American way of life. Just like our vote yesterday, it's going to affect international relationships. It's going to affect our way of life. Change is here to stay, as they say. Those of us fortunate enough to be in employment know that change is here to stay. Gone are the days when a job was for life. It can be very stressful for many not knowing if they're going to have a job next week, tomorrow, next year. Family situations, the nature of being family and having children are changing. Family situations change the whole time. For us, our eldest just about to get married and set up his own home. Our youngest making her way in the world without our direct supervision. Scary! Family situations changing. Other families, people don't know where children are. Maybe there's breakdown in relationships. Maybe there's the stress of going through painful separations. Things changing, not knowing what things are. What about our personal well-being? Who's going to take care of me when I get older? Who's going to take care of us as we're less independent? The uncertainty of provision, the uncertainty of the future. As a church, as a fellowship, we're very aware of changes, some very necessary, some good, but never easy, particularly when we don't understand why. We don't feel we know why. We don't often have dreams and visions that tell us what the future is going to be like. Daniel did. He had some very strange dreams and visions. And another phrase from Hamilton comes to mind. The world's turned upside down. She's going to really moan at me after the service today.
he had some very strange dreams and visions, but they mostly left him with feelings of fear. Back in chapter 7, he's troubled in spirit. The visions that passed through his mind disturbed him. Verse 28, he was deeply troubled. Chapter 8, he was appalled by the vision. It was beyond understanding. And this morning's reading, I heard, but I didn't understand. And then when he asks what it's all about, he's told, go on about your business, Daniel. The message is confidential and under lock and key until the end, until things are about to be wrapped up. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you'll rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Or as the message says, and you, go about your business without fretting or worrying. Relax. When it's all over, you'll be on your feet to receive your reward. I don't know about you, but that makes me a little bit frustrated. What was this all about? I'm really struggling to understand, why would God show Daniel all these visions of dreams of what is going to happen and then turn around and say to him, actually, you're not to know the meaning. It's all locked up. Just get on with life. I think I'd have had something to say to God about that. And actually, I think that probably says more about me than it does about Daniel and the dreams and visions. Because I think, thinking about it, not my gut reaction, but thinking about it, I think it's all about God's sovereignty. We had a psalm earlier this morning, didn't we, about God's sovereignty. It's all about God's control, God being in control. It's not about God wanting to elicit Daniel's help to sort things out. It was all about God showing Daniel that he is in control. And I think Daniel understood that. You know, Daniel, if we go back through the whole book of Daniel, we can see that he understood his worth. He understood his incredible value in God's eyes. And that shaped his behaviour. Back in chapter 1, we see how Daniel stood up and refrained from eating the king's food. He refused to ally himself with his captor king. Daniel was incredibly self-confident. Verse 20, it says, every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned him, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. But Daniel knew that his confidence came from his God. He knew where he truly belonged. He knew who he truly belonged to. And even in Daniel 6, when he's thrown into the den of lions, the king, Darius, recognises Daniel's allegiance. He says to him, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. Daniel's confidence, self-worth, came from knowing God, from knowing the living God, who endures forever, whose kingdom will not be destroyed, whose dominion will never end. And because of that, he trusted. He could trust that God holds all things in his hands. That his life, that Daniel's life was important. And that whatever the situation was at the present time, God was in control. And that belief motivated his behaviour, shaped his character. Basically, he knew he was a child of the king. Do you know, I love it when a plan comes together, and that's what's been happening this morning. Our verse for the year has been Romans 12, verse 2. And as I've been contemplating and thinking and meditating on this verse, well, you might have noticed over the last few months, whenever I've been preaching and I've had a PowerPoint, I've used an image of a butterfly. And I've been fascinated by how a butterfly goes through the metamorphosis and the changing and the transformation. But I've come to believe that actually this verse, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This verse is about understanding and walking in our identity as children of the King. So thank you, Frank. That was so for this morning. This image of a butterfly, I mean, originally I just picked it because I found this image of a butterfly going through the stages and emerging as a butterfly. But I've discovered the butterfly that I've depicted here is actually called a monarch butterfly. Monarch? I don't think that's coincidental. Our transformation is about understanding our identity as children of the King. In John 1, we're told, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And it's not just about knowing in our heads. It's not just about a head consent, head acknowledgement. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm a child of the King. The renewing of our mind results in different behaviours, different attitudes. In fact, becoming more and more like Jesus. Does that mean things will always go right? Or we'll always know what to do? Well, no. And I think that's the point of what we can see here in the book of Daniel. There are things that God has revealed, and we do well to take notice of. We can expect tough times to continue. Some people will be refined through the fire. The wicked, however, will be so caught up in their wickedness that they'll never understand. Have you ever passed a car with its windows wide open and its radio on full blast, so the whole car is shaking? And the occupants of the car, they're oblivious to anything else that's going on. They're just taken up with the music. That's what the vision in Daniel says the wicked are like. But the good news is that through tough times, through opposition, through persecution, through mental strains, addiction, the trouble in the world will bring out the best in us. There will be a definite end to the trouble, so persevere. Live now confident that in the end you'll rise to receive your inheritance. By the by, it's interesting to note that in the Old Testament, the idea of future life is quite muted. And the idea of resurrection is not at all clear, except here in this chapter in Daniel 12. This is the only reference to eternal life in the whole of the Old Testament. So when Jesus says in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life, his listeners would have heard him in the context of Daniel 12, because that's the scriptures they had, and that was the most explicit reference to resurrection in the scriptures available to them. Daniel couldn't possibly have seen the whole thing, but this prophecy is really rooted in the resurrection of Jesus. We heard a few weeks ago about the Son of Man and how Jesus referred to himself time and time again as the Son of Man. There he was, right there. And there he is with us, and there he will be right at the end. So, accepting, moving in our identity as children of the King, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. What's that all about? Well, it's about having a growing confidence in our importance to our Heavenly Father. Listen to those words that Frank... Actually, yeah, can you come and read them again? Let's listen to those words again. We are so important to our Heavenly Father, and this is what he says of us.
You are beautiful. You are unique. You are loved. You are special. You are created for a purpose. You are cared for. You are lovely. You are precious. You are strong. You are important. You are forgiven. You are a new creation. You are protected. You are empowered. You are chosen. You are family. You are mine.
Thank you, Frank. Every one of those words applies to you. Every single word is talking about you. There is not one of those words that doesn't apply. Accept them, believe them, and our minds will be renewed. Have a growing confidence in our importance to our Heavenly Father. And renewing of our minds involves asking and engaging with difficult questions. Daniel didn't understand, so he asked. He might not have got the answers that he wanted, but he asked the questions. It's not just about blasé going through life because at the end we're going to meet Jesus and we're going to live with him forever. No, he wants us to engage with life as it is now. We need to ask those questions. We need to engage with difficult questions. Just thinking about the referendum. You know, there are Christians on both sides of opinions. And none of them are wrong. None of them are completely right. But we need to engage with difficult questions. We need to engage with difficult issues. With an ear on God. So that we're not putting down anybody else, but understanding that each of us may just have some partial truth. Each of us has part of the big picture. We won't ever see the complete picture until Jesus returns. But we're encouraged to engage with those difficult issues, difficult questions. And then embrace anguish, embrace suffering. Again, there's difficult questions around the whole issue of suffering. Apostle Paul suffered, and he asked three times for his suffering to be removed. And in the end, he came to the conclusion that God's grace was enough for him, and he had to live with whatever it was. Still ask the questions, but embrace the suffering. And then remember the resurrection. Remember the resurrection. This life isn't all there is. God's eternal life for us starts now. And because of Jesus' resurrection, because of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, we know that God is in control and that we will stand with him. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I came across a phrase in Psalm 18 which kind of throws some light for me on how I can live life in all its fullness as a child of the King whilst still engaging with everyday struggles. Just read verses 16 to 19. The psalmist says, "He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster. But the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." Now I think that spacious place is a place where I know that I am loved. I know who God has made me to be. I know that God is in control, whatever is happening. I know that I only need to be what he has made me to be. I only need to do what he has asked me to do. I don't need to do what other people expect me to do. I don't even need to do what I think other people expect me to do. I don't need to be what other people expect me to be, or even what I think other people expect me to be. The only responsibility I have is to listen to and obey his voice. We need to hear his voice and act on what he says. And the way to hear his voice is to read and meditate on his word. Do you know, we're only halfway through the year and we have a verse for the year. And you might have thought last Sunday was the deadline for thinking about our verse. Well, it's not. You've got another 6 months. Let me encourage you to continue to engage, to continue to meditate, to continue to listen to God for this verse. And when you hear, when you feel something welling up inside you, share it with us, because we need to hear too. We need to hear from God. We need to hear through others as well as listening ourselves. And over the next few months, we're going to find ways which we can together meditate in his word, listen to him, and share what we are hearing. We need to listen and obey his voice and act on what he says. We need to trust him, because he is the king, and you and I are his children. Let's pray. Gracious God, way back in Daniel 2, King Nebuchadnezzar honoured you when he said to Daniel, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries." We echo that this morning. Thank you for stories and visions which reveal the mystery of your sovereignty, that you are in control. We desire to act on this message and to see life from this perspective. Help us when we lose sight of this and begin to carry the weight of the world on our own shoulders. Forgive us for taking on that which is not ours, and at the same time ignoring what you have clearly revealed about the world and the future. This we pray with confidence regarding your grace, and with passion regarding our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.